League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Now to gain comparative insights into middle-class Americans' child-related values and practices, our first guest today tells us about his book, How Other Children Learn, which examines children's learning and parents' parenting in five traditional societies. Welcome to the show, author Cornelius Grove.
Cornelius Grove here, and thank you for including me. I'm speaking to you from Brooklyn, New York.
Crikey, what time is it there then?
It is coming up to 8:30 in the morning. A few more minutes and it'll be 8:30.
Well, I'll say good morning to you then, even though it's good afternoon here.
Yes, I know it's afternoon there. I actually have quite a lot of ties to the UK. You're in the UK, I assume?
No, we're not. We're in Spain.
Oh, Spain. I might vacation in Spain this winter, so very good.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, Cornelius, what was the idea behind this book? What made you want to write it?
Well, I've written a number of books. I'm very interested in my interest is at the crossroads between education of younger children and anthropology. So I bring an anthropologist's skills and sensibility to understanding education. And when you do it that way, you step back from it and you look at the big picture quite often. And in this particular case, I decided that instead of doing what I had usually done in my previous books, which was to compare what's going on in American elementary schools and kindergartens with what's going on in abroad, I decided to look at societies where there aren't any schools or where the schools play a very, very small role in children's lives and parents' lives. So in other words, I'm looking at traditional cultures, pre-modern cultures. And one of the characteristics of those cultures is that people are very closely connected with the natural world because they raise or find all of their food. They have to farm it. They have to gather it. They have to hunt it. That's how they live. And all of this involves them intimately with nature. And there are many other characteristics of a traditional culture, but I won't go into those because I know our time is short.
Okay. So they're all sort of villages and camps. And it says here that each society has its own chapter. So let's start then. The five societies are the one is the AKA hunter-gatherers of Africa.
Yes, the Aka. They're a very, very interesting group. They're one of many hunter-gathering groups in Africa. This one has been studied, and others have been studied as well, but a great deal of attention has been paid in this case to the children and how they grow into adults. And they do that with absolutely no schools anywhere to be found.
And it seems that they do it without question. They in these traditional societies, they willingly carry out the responsibilities probably that in America would be a parent's responsibility.
Well, the Aka turns out to be a bit of an anomaly among traditional societies. It doesn't work that way in Aka land. And most traditional societies are different in that the children, the children just basically pretty much after they are weaned, they just go and do what they want to. And it's a very interesting thing because at the end of their childhood, which would be around age 15 or 16, they are ready, almost without exception, to just fit right into their families and communities as adults. The other societies that I studied, again, with one exception, remember that anthropologists are studying dozens of societies, and I had access, of course, to their findings, but I looked in detail at these five. But what generally happens is that as soon as a child can toddle, he or she is asked to contribute to the family in some way, to contribute to the family's ability to survive and to live and even to thrive in their environment. For example, a child who can just toddle forward might be asked to bring two sticks for the fire, or might be asked to take a cup of water to his uncle, or something like that. Now, these are very, very, very small, you know, I mean, we don't even want to call them responsibilities, do we? It just seems like it's fun. But this kind of very, very small beginning begins to build the habit and the expectation to willingly join the other members of the family. And here we're talking about extended families, by the way, not rarely just nuclear families, to join the other members of the family day by day to do whatever needs to be done for the good of the family. And this is something, this is a strategy which, I don't know, I can't speak for Spaniards, but which is not really characteristic of parenting in the United States. So we have quite a contrast here. And the result in the United States is that when children get older, I'm talking now about 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, their parents, who are busy, 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 of course, with their jobs and this and that, they're so busy trying to get everything done around the house that needs to be done. And that at that point, they ask their children to contribute to help, you know, please take out the garbage. Just to take a common example. Well, children have never done this. It's not their job. I mean, that's the parents' job, and the children don't want to do it.
But don't the children change from age? I can understand if you're asking a toddler, so let's say a 3-year-old, to to take a cup to their uncle or get some twigs or whatever. They probably think it was fun because of their age. But once they get to sort of 9 years old, then of course they're going to change their mind, even if they've done it at age 3.
Yes, they can. And as they grow older, what is asked of them is increases with their physical ability, their mental ability, and so forth. What you find in most traditional societies, again, there are exceptions. What you find in most is that by age 7, 8, 9, children are taking immense responsibilities on behalf of the family. It's almost beyond belief. They are doing things for their family, in many cases doing them by themselves, that we would never, ever even think would be appropriate for children of that age. And one of the big things that comes out of a study like this is that children turn out to be way more capable, both physically, mentally, and in terms of willingness to accept and carry out of responsibilities, including major responsibilities, then I can't speak for the Spanish folks over there, but Americans generally have mainly sort of entertained their children through their early years, and they want them to do well in school and all of that, but they ask very little of them. And this isn't true in traditional families, and it's a big eye opener. And you think, well, gee, maybe we should, revisit some of the ways we do things.
Yeah, you could be right. But I wonder if it's because if you imagine the Americans, and I can't speak for the Spanish either, but certainly the British, we live in a privileged society. So if it's a small child in a small camp or village in Africa, as you say, they know that if they don't help bring the food or bring the water, they're not going to eat or drink. Whereas in America, for example, they've got such a privileged society that it doesn't matter whether they do or not, they'll still get fed.
Yes, and they're in most families, they're not asked to do much at all. And this is one of, and so they just grow up thinking, well, you know, my role here in this family, their experience is that they receive things. They are given things. They are given nurturance. They are given a roof over their head. They are given entertainment. They are given toys and on and on. And they aren't asked to contribute or to contribute only in very minor and temporary ways. And this is not what happens in traditional societies. This isn't the only thing I came up with, by the way, but it's so important that I devoted an entire summary chapter just to this matter of responsibility.
Yeah.
Because it's so different, and we can really, it's really an eye opener, I think.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And I think it's wrong that children don't do more. You know, we're not asking them to do too much, but they certainly should help. I mean, when I was a kid, I had to do my own ironing, I had to do the hoovering and the dusting in order to get my pocket money.
Yeah. Let me just give you one example of what children do in other societies. In a society such as the Quechua, which is an indigenous group that lives in the high Andes of Peru. By high Andes, I mean 12,000 to 16,000 feet. That's where they live. And these folks are mainly herders. They raise alpaca and sheep and so forth. And the family's animals are that family's wealth. Think of it. That is what they have. That is where a lot of what they eat comes from. It's how they clothe themselves, and it gives them things to trade in marketplaces for vegetables that they find, for example, very hard to grow in the high Andes. So around, you know, at a very early age, like five, a child will accompany a parent or an older sibling out to look after the sheep for a day and bring them back home at night. And by the time that child is seven or eight or nine, they begin taking the sheep out for a day and shepherding them and looking after them and protecting them from wolves and so forth all by themselves. That is the family's wealth. And the child is in charge of it. We would never do anything like that, but these kids, they just do it, and that's the way things are. That's their family. That's what their family relies on, and it's really, really quite something to behold.
Yeah, they're given a lot of responsibility, aren't they?
They have major responsibilities.
And another place you looked at was the Hindu villages of India.
Yes, I looked at those. That is true. And again, in some cases there you have situations that are anomalous from the majority of the traditional societies. And so, yes, and you have a situation in India in which the really wealthy families do not want their children to work in any way. They just pamper them. They do things for them. They even feed them when they're 9, 10, 11 years old. But what is really different in India is the Dalits, or sometimes called the untouchables. And in those cases, everybody has to work in order to support the families, because they have very menial jobs as dictated by their caste. And so once a child is weaned, he's just left with the other children, and the children have to learn how to take care of each other and take care of the home and cook the meals and go out and find, you know, the things that they're going to eat in the fields. And they do it. I mean, they show incredible ingenuity and capability. And, you know, that's what children are capable of, but we don't allow our children to show this kind of capability.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So we've mentioned Africa, India, and Peru. So what were the other two?
Well, I've looked at the Aka hunter-gatherers in Africa. I looked at the Quechua herders in highland Peru. I looked at the Navajos in the U.S. Southwest. A lot of anthropological work has been done with the Navajos. And I looked at the at the village Arabs of the Levant. Not everyone is necessarily familiar with the term Levant, but it's basically the land at the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea. For example, Israel is part of the Levant, Syria is part of the Levant, Lebanon is part of the Levant, and so forth.
Okay, got you. So do you think it's because in all these societies, do you think it's because they don't know any other? Do you think if Americans were taught so early, then they'd be doing the same? They'd be willing and capable?
Well, here's the thing. You have to, anybody who thinks about this has to realize pretty early on that the circumstances in which we modern folks live day by day is extremely different from the circumstances in which traditional societies live. And that always has to be taken into account. Excuse me, there are things that go on in traditional societies in terms of child raising, children learning, family organization and so forth, raising food, you know, acquiring food and other sustenance that that fits their ecological situation. And we have a very different ecological situation. That means that not everything that we see and that we might admire in terms of child rearing in those societies can be transferred to our societies. In some cases, it simply won't work. But in other cases, such as this matter of responsibility, we can say, look at how they do it. Well, gosh, we don't ask anything of our kids. And, you know, you could, regardless of where you live, you can ask your children to contribute even at a very young age in small ways and then make that bigger. So that's the kind of thing that is not terribly dependent on the ecological situation in which I live, in which we can really gain some insight into what we're doing and what we could be doing.
It'd be good to do some studies, wouldn't it, to do a test with some parents and children.
Yeah.
If they were willing. Well, we are selling your book on our website. So if any of our listeners want to buy it, they can do so now. Simply click on the bookshop banner on tre.radio. It's called How Other Children Learn, What Five Traditional Societies Tell Us About Parenting and Children's Learning. And it's by Cornelius Grove, who is today's first guest.
Cornelius, can I add one more thing, please?
Yeah, sure.
The book, How Other Children Learn, has a website.
Oh, good. I was just going to ask you that.
Learn.info. HowOtherChildrenLearn.info. You can find out much more about the book at that website.
Wonderful. Thank you for your time today, Cornelius.
Well, thank you. I'm very glad to be included. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.